So I have Romac and the Space Pirates here setting up. They're almost ready to go. We're gonna get into things right now by playing a track from a CD that they brought in. In the meantime, you can check out myspace.com/Romac and the Space Pirates for more info, or ratsp.net, and this is what they sound like. Enjoy. All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and I have Romac and the Space Pirates right here in the studio, and we're ready to go. This is an amazing setup. I have Romac sitting next to me, putting in a MySpace bulletin, letting people know that they're live, which is cool. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and for more information on the show, of course, you can go to isgoodmusic.com. Why don't we go around and do introductions, and if you could also describe what you're playing and sort of give the audience a sense of what we've crammed into the tiny Kill Radio studio today.
We put in lots of stuff. There's all sorts of craziness. A lot of stuff is just props. A lot of the equipment we have right now, like, we're not actually using it. We have my wife Vanity, the block of wood with a face painted on it. People think she looks like the gingerbread man. So she's with us. And
that's sort of like for moral support, for enthusiasm.
Yeah. She's a really, you know, she travels with us everywhere. So this is like, I don't know. It's cozy, you know. it's like a log cabin.
So you're Romac, and you started this as sort of. Are you the front man of the group?
Yeah. I would consider myself front man. That's a pretty good word. I like it.
Come up
front
with, like,
creature.
Like an idea for a band, and then you found people to play with?
Basically, I mean, things always sort of start out strangely, but I definitely wanted to do, like, you know, I started the band a long time ago. I wanted to do a conceptual band based around stories, you know, that I was writing and everything like that, and I wanted us to have this really kind of, you know, colorful, you know, name and image and sound and everything like that, but I also wanted to put a bunch of things, you know, throw in a bunch of my, you know, opinions and things like that into it, but still make it not, you know, without that aura of, you know, pretentious art.
Preachy.
Music. So it's art pop or something. I don't know. And then a lot has happened kind of since then. And so now we've just been, you know, going around doing our thing, this, that, and the other. the crazy schedule that we lead.
Now it's you sing, and what do you play?
I sing and play theremin and a little bit of keyboards, and soon I'm going to play floor tom. And I play guitar on the recordings, but there's not a lot of guitar in our music.
So what are you going to play for us today, instrument-wise?
Oh, well, we have with us DeBenny Twilax with his keyboard
things.
That's
me.
Yeah, and then Taylor Sheckett, our still new bass player. So right now we have keyboards and backing tracks and bass guitar and vocals. No live drums right now.
Cool. Now, DeBenny, tell me what you got going on.
Well, I've got a bunch of electronic items. There's three keyboards, and one of them's a MIDI controller from a laptop from which I'm running programming and synthesizers from Reason and also Reactor in Cubase. Just a lot of Tronic stuff, basically.
Is it hard to sort of maintain, like, in a live performance, to kind of find that balance between stuff that you've pre-programmed and making sure it goes off at the right time and everything like that?
Well, we all are pretty much used to playing, like, to a strict timing. We used to have a live drummer, but now since it's all drum machine, we've kind of, like, accustomed ourselves to playing on time. We did have some backing tracks before and a little bit of drum machine, but now it's, like, really, really backed by programming. But there's still a lot of, like, live... It's mostly all live stuff except for drums.
Now, you have three different keyboards here. You have a MIDI keyboard, you have this big Roland, and I can't see from where I'm sitting with the other
one. A micro snorg.
Tell me about the difference between them.
I don't like that word, micro cork.
What's the difference between them? Like, what are the different sounds that you get from them?
Well, one of them, the bigger one, is like a Roland. It's like a sort of like a half workstation thing, which has a lot of more, I guess, sort of natural-sounding stuff on it. And then, of course, like, the synthesizer is all, like, it's all, like, really electronic-sounding. We also have a vocoder that we use.
Cool. And let's talk about the bass a little bit. I know you're a little bit newer to the group, but tell me about what you bring to it and your experience coming into this band/event that is Romac and the Space Pirates.
It's like joining a crazy traveling circus from space. But I want to mention my bass amp because I've had it for like 6 years, and it's from Radio Shack. And it's actually Radio Shack brand. I bet you didn't know Radio Shack made bass amps.
You know, there's a representative of Radio Shack listening right now, and he's going, yes!
Yeah, we need our corporate sponsorship deal from Radio Shack, please.
Nice.
Contact us.
All right, cool. Well, are you guys ready to jump into a live song, and then we can talk about how each of you got involved in music in the first place?
Sounds good.
All right, what are you going to play for us first?
We're going to play a song called That's Right, and then in parentheses, Dissatisfaction of the Squid.
Nice. You're listening to Romac and the Space Pirates on Is Good on killradio.org.
Right! Say it all the time. Am I the only one before the war? Take me! And what you think you see? Am I the only squid boy with philosophies? That's right! Say one of a kind, but every motherfucker seems more and more and more. I'm staring up from the bottom of the deep black sea. Motherfucker, that's right! Change this with me. One more time, I think we really may as well. The satisfaction lies. The squid boy sinks, propelling, slipping forward from the depths of the sea. Now there's so much to do and so much it could be. It's 1925 and every bell rings for me. That's right! Say it will the time. You know that nothing was the same before the war. Take me! And what you think you see? Goddamn, I'm tired of paying all of these philosophies. That's right. Say one of a kind, but every motherfucker sees more and more and more. I'm staring up from the bottom of the deep black sea. Motherfucker, that's right. Change this with me. one more time. I think we really may as well. Our hero came and our hero beat. Steins crying in the sun for everyone to see. Hey, didn't you know I was the king of the sea? I was curious, now I'm the curiosity. That's right, the sand chest grip. This, I'll take it all, I'm dead. Change this with me one more time. Right. Say, will the time? Am I the only one before the war? Take me and what you think you see. Am I the only squid boy with philosophies? That's right. Say, one of a kind, but every motherfucker screams. Less and less and less. I'm staring up from the bottom of the deep black sea. Motherfucker, that's right. Change this with me. Squid boy sings, propelling, slipping forward from the depths of the sea. Hey, didn't you know I was the king of the sea? I was curious, now I'm the curiosity. That's right.
First, what is this thing about squids?
Squids, it's not, it's a real theme. It's like, you know, when someone like decorates their house in seashells,
right?
Only
read,
like
on
less
your, on your page,
gross.
There's a reference to having a squid fetish. Where does that come from?
It's not a fetish. It's like,
that's what Blender said.
That's what Blender said about us. Blender, yeah, but Blender also had Kelly Clarkson on the cover of that magazine instead of us. So that just goes to show how much Max and Blender knows. Blender, if you're listening to this, put us in your magazine again.
Please.
But this time, put me on the cover with, like, I don't know, like a prom satchel or whatever the hell she was wearing. But as for the squid thing, getting back to your question, well, our whole album that we're making right now is called Attack of the Has-Been Androids, which is a story within a story. But first I'll tell you the original story and not the story that's within the story. The original story starts out with a giant squid set in about 1925 is when the story begins. There's a giant squid at the bottom of the ocean, and he has these telepathic visions of this other world. And he's so dissatisfied with his current situation and, you know, everyone around him, everyone else within, you know, his squid tribe, that he decides to, you know, just make a break for it and leave. And he swims into these uncharted waters and, of course, beaches and dies. But he beaches on the shores of California. But all of his ambition manifests and he is reincarnated as a human, a young man. And then that young man goes out and begins a career as a silent film actor starring in low-grade science fiction horror-type films. And the movie is basically about his life, death, reincarnation, career, which is a disappointing career, and then death again. And so Attack of the Has-Been Androids is actually the name of a movie that the character Squid Boy stars in that he's most known for, and that later becomes a cult film.
Now this character, Squid Boy, this is your creation?
Yeah, basically. So there's other characters too.
Did you start writing these stories long before you got involved in music?
You know, it was weird. It's coming. It's all come together so slowly. We've been a band for over 3 years. And, you know, all the lyrics to all the songs and all, like, the little pictures and all the, you know, all the, you know, scribbles and ideas and everything like that, it's all come together over such a long period of time. And there's certain parts of the story that are still being reconfigured and figured out. But by the time the album's ready, we're going to have a written version of the story, you know, to couple it so that people who are interested in, you know, what it's all about can really see it. But it's all something everyone can relate to, I think. It's not just some crazy out of this world thing. I mean, it's also very practical in its own way.
As a musical act, looking at Romac and the Space Pirates as a whole, how do you not fit in? You know, how do you make sure that, like, it's an original, it's a unique act. But if you're playing out in LA, you're going to be playing along with other bands, indie rock bands, electro bands.
This is a question I've been asking myself. Why does no one accept us? Why don't we get to sit at the popular table? You know,
what do you describe?
Why does
yourself?
Everyone hate
like,
us
if
so
someone
much?
Someone says, "Okay, pitch me Romac and the Space Pirates." What do you say?
We usually tell people. I mean, there's definitely a pop, idea behind a lot of our music and sort of that basic sketch frame. But also, I'd basically say it's electropunk just in terms of like how much attitude and just our whole approach to our existence and everything like that, I think is very, of the old punk sort of, mentality. And as for us, like fitting in, we usually say it's electropunk, but with a, musical theater sort of theatrical, sort of edge to it, I guess you can say.
When you first started getting interested in music, what were you listening to?
I was like in middle school and I was listening to like White Zombie and like, and stuff like that. And I still like stuff like that. I mean, we, just because, there's no guitar really in our music doesn't mean everyone expects us to only listen to electronic music, but I like metal
mostly
and stuff
what
too.
I listen to.
Well, tell me about your process then, about finding electronic music as your form of expression.
Well, about 6 years ago, I started making electronic music just because of, mostly I was making noise, experimental noise, and I have continuously done that, up until now, except I don't really have that much time to keep doing it, but just as like a, like finding new sounds that nobody's ever heard before and just weird structures of songs that were different from, the majority of popular music and not popular music, I just like electronic music because it does stuff that, people can't do, like rhythms that are like more fast and complex than any like drummer could play, for example, stuff like that.
What were some of the early electronic groups that you were getting into when you started thinking about, if I were to do electronic music, I'd take these influences?
Well, I guess like at the very beginning was Skinny Puppy, and they did a lot of weird, like harsh sounding stuff, and Nine Inch Nails at the beginning. But then I got into stuff more like Aphex Twin, like all that kind of, sort of IDM stuff and breakcore. And that's like mostly been my influence.
And tell me how you got involved in playing bass. Why bass?
Well, bass is, I always say that bass is for people who really like to listen to music. Because you have to listen to everything and try and bring it all together.
And so for you, it's not about being in the limelight so much as bringing the whole sound together?
Yeah, bass lines are like the foundation of good pop songs.
So. What were some of the early songs, like just off the top of your head, that you heard the bass and you went, this really makes the song?
Well, I'd like to be cool and like name some old school bands or something, but like
the corniest thing you can think
of. I really like I don't know, I have a wide variety of likes. Like I like Limp Bizkit and I'm a Robot, Faint and techno. I listen to a lot of techno.
Well, cool. Why don't we play another track from the CD?
Sure.
And then we'll do a little more talking and a little more playing. I'll throw this over at you and you can pick a track you think represents you at the moment. Let's see. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Romac and the Space Pirates.
22-4, please.
All right. This is called Catch 22 by Romac and the Space Pirates. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Well,
they lurk everywhere, so don't try to make anything yours. Like a dry sponge over a candle flame, you got no one to blame. Things that always get much worse. Will you take from me? Will it take from you? Baby, you know I'll drain you. Catch 22.
Before we go into another live song, I want to ask you guys about playing live and your sort of early experiences. Like, you put the band together, you practiced, you know, you came up with some songs, and then someone somewhere put you on a stage in front of people. What was that experience like?
Yeah, after we had to sell lots of tickets. We're from Orange County.
Oh, did you have to do the whole pay for play bullshit?
Yeah, we did that at the beginning.
Where was it?
Like Hoagie Barmichael's and Showcase Theater and things like that. We were signed up for a lot of things.
What was it like $200 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. One of the original people that I was mainly working with was, you know, this like pay to play wheeler and dealer, and he was always setting us up with these pay to play shows. But he did a lot of things, you know, that make him a horrible person. But you know, that's a completely different story. Everyone will have to wait till my biography for that.
Oh, okay.
Which is happening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. One of many projects.
Well, were you guys nervous the first time you got up there, or did you feel like you really knew what you were doing?
You know, the first show we ever played was a Halloween party in 2003, and that was our big angle. We put up flyers all over this little suburban neighborhood that we lived in saying that, you know, we were perfect for Halloween parties and you should book us for a Halloween party.
And you guys like the costume and the
show.
The
costume and the show and everything like that. So it fit in perfectly at first. I mean, when you're outperforming as much as we do, sometimes it's still, even though I feel like we have our performance, you know, our groove or something, like, you know, like how Stella got her groove back, like we have our groove. It's, I don't know. It's weird. Sometimes I still get nervous before performances, but once we got up on stage and really started performing, I think the live shows had since then, like from a very early point, become like our forte. And like people have been like, you've got to see this band to know really what it's about. And I think we've yet to really, you know, hopefully we will with this album, to really show the type of, you know, sort of just energy and that sort of, I don't like to say, I'll say the word magic, the magic of the live show, you know, because usually that's the kicker for people. You know, people will not like us and will end up at our show for some strange, you know, seeing one of our performances on the off chance, and then that will sell them and they'll decide that they love the band, or they'll come up to us and they'll really like us, but they'll be like, oh yeah, you know, my girlfriend loves you guys. Can you sign the CD for her?
What's the thing?
Guilty pleasures.
What's the thing in a live performance that sometimes doesn't work? That sort of, have you ever had the experience kind of ruined for you, either through technical flaw or maybe because the audience isn't getting it or the venue or something like that?
It's the venue's sound system a lot of times.
Yeah.
Just because like such a huge amount is electronic that they don't have maybe the experience, because we're playing in like normal venues that like we're like really heavily based on drum machine. So if they don't mix it right, and just sometimes it's like the space too, but that's pretty much, if we have a problem, that's usually what it's from.
Sometimes the stunts that we pull don't work out exactly as planned.
Like what kind of stunt?
Well, we did this stunt recently and it started off really well. Someone donated a box of spray bottles, like Windex spray bottles, to me, a bunch of empty spray bottles. So I thought, oh, it'll be cool. You know, we did this song, and Taylor came out holding this black and white, you know, photograph of myself, of me, you know, on this wire hanger, you know, like, mommy dearest, no wire hangers. Not that that has anything to do with anything, but, like, you know, is Faye Dunaway still with us?
Is she alive? So. Yeah.
Okay. If you're listening to this, Faye, so anyway, so Taylor comes out, and he's got this photograph of me, and I've got these spray bottles, which we filled with liquid with food coloring in it, and this was one of our Halloween-oriented, I guess, shows this year in Riverside, and so I started, he held it out while I kept spraying my face, the photograph of it, with, you know, different colors and everything like that, and then when we went into the next song, and it was cool, like, you know, it was definitely, like, a success. When we went into the next song, I started spraying them, and then, like, both of the spray bottles, like, just came completely undone, and, like, colored water went everywhere, and, like, people rushed out to clean it up. I'm sort of just like, I'm sorry, you know, we're not one of those, we're not that destructive, I swear, I'm not.
Well, at least you weren't working with fire, right?
Yeah, no, that's next. We want that pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. What's the biggest venue you guys ever played in?
What have we done?
Well, I guess the Galaxy is pretty big. We played at the Roxy not too long ago.
We've done, like, yeah, the Galaxy.
You could do fire in the Roxy.
Around here, yeah.
I'm just saying, you can't do fire in Lava Lounge. The whole place would just... Yeah.
We did a really cool outdoor suburban, like, it was the anniversary of Rancho Santa Margarita being a city. And Rancho Santa Margarita, for anyone who's familiar with the area, is, like, the most poltergeist little pink and white houses, you know, the most suburban.
And by poltergeist, you mean it's a town built on an ancient Indian cemetery?
Yeah, basically. And, it's like the most ridiculous suburban neighborhood ever, and we play this outdoor festival, the type with, like, kids and hot dogs and face painting and stuff, on this huge outdoor stage, and we got to perform, and that was really amazing. We got to be the Tapatio sauce on, you know, Orange County's Wonder Bread, the habanero sauce for some.
And is that a sort of a challenge for you guys, sort of growing up and living in suburban Orange County, and being, I don't know, how should I put it, a bit different, you know?
It's their fault I'm like this, for the record. It's all because of them.
Well, that's why anyone goes into music. So why don't we go into another live song, if you guys are ready? What are you going to play for us?
This song is called Dissection of the Squid.
All right, let's do it. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Romac and the Space Pirates.
All things seen as they needed to be, all things ending as planned and directed, troublous all seeking delight, how they love to mark the end of a star. On the shore, just wash up on the screen. I died for the sake of progress. No progress, wanting to die again. Well, I guess I'd have to end sometime, but it seems so soon and it seems so cruel. Come to think of it, I never made an impact. This squid feels he's just begun. Your work is just a guise. You cut me down to size. Say my career is over. voice that has been now. You cut me down, down. All I am is foam, foam upon the rock. I may as well have died. I may as well have died on it. All I am is foam, foam upon the rock. I may as well have died. I may as well have died. Hey, maybe I did.